Hello from the members of Royce City Methodist Church. Thank you for listening to this podcast. We hope you're blessed by this message today. You're invited to join us for worship anytime. You can learn more about our worship options, locations, and how to get plugged into the life of our church by visiting our website, roycitymethodist.life. Today, we hear from our senior pastor, Reverend Chris Everson. May God bless you as you listen to his word proclaimed.
So a little programming update. We were supposed to start a new series today called what you see on your bulletin, Thus Sings My Soul, looking at different hymns. And that is the hymn that we were going to talk about today. And I'm going to talk about it a little bit, but I felt a call to go a different direction today just because of where we are and where God is leading us as Roy City Methodist Church. So if you know this hymn, I don't have it on the screen, so please sing it with me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. I heard that this morning as I was driving in, listening to one of my podcasts. And I think, did I leave the clicker? No, it's right here. Here is the clicker. And I wanted to share that with you because 10 years of ministry is something else. You see a lot of things, and I'm thankful that I get to see those things with you. You know, just thinking back, and I want to make sure I don't do one of those things that some TV shows do, like whenever they get far enough in their run. I know The Office did this, one of my favorite shows did this, like I think in season 7 or 6 or whatever, where they did like a recap thing where they showed all these scenes and everything. I don't want to do that because God has more moving forward for us than he does for we have looking back. But there are three really key moments that I just wanted to lift up to you this morning before we start the message. The first one was when Tracy and I came to Roy City for the very first time for what our former denomination called a seating. And this is when there was a pastoral change and the new pastor would come in and meet with the SPRC committee and sit down and talking. And I remember I still see all the faces that are around the circle, some that are here, some who have passed on, and some who have gone on to different places. And as we were sitting there, I was sitting right next to Tracy on one side and Dr. Henderson on the other side. And I made the comment. I said, you know, one of the things that I love about your... And I stopped. And I said, no, let me rephrase that. One of the things that I love about our church is that we're going to be a church that serves together. Because Roy City Methodist Church just isn't a random church that I have been was placed here 10 years ago. But Roy City Methodist Church is my church along with your church. And we work together for the ministries and the life of this church. So the second clip that I want to say was back in 2020, we had this thing called the pandemic. And when that thing hit, my optimistic mind said, okay, Easter Sunday is going to be an amazing service. We're going to be filled in, we're going to be packed in, and we're going to be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. No, it didn't happen. And the funny thing that happened when Trace and I, we were doing the Easter service, the Easter sunrise service online, and during the invitation to say the Lord's Prayer with me online, there was a big bolt of lightning because there was a rainstorm that day, and it just cracked us up and everything. But the thing that I remember mostly about that is when I gave the benediction, which is, I think, Tracy, me, Richard, I can't remember if we had the praise team with us on Easter Sunday or not, but you know, it was a very scaled-down worship crew. I started hearing all these cars honking their horns. And Tracy and I went outside, and you all were circled around the sanctuary, Wesley Hall, watching online. I can't believe we had enough bandwidth to do that, Wi-Fi wise or even cell phone wise, but letting me know that you were there. And it meant a lot to me, and it meant a lot to Tracy. Third snapshot, and probably the most painful one, on May 28th, 2024. When we lost the sanctuary that causes us to be right here now. I remember driving up, seeing the smoke coming from the sanctuary and seeing the fire trucks and everything. And there was a large group of church members that were gathered on the Bell Street side of Wesley Hall, close to the Family Life Center. And we circled up. We looked at each other and we said, this is not the end of the story, but this is the beginning of the story. We prayed, we sang, and I remember we had a reporter who was there from NBC5, and after we got done gathering together, she walked up and she said, why did you do that? And I kind of gave her kind of a, you know, the look that maybe your cat or dog gives you whenever they think you've done something. And I kind of said, because we're people of faith. While we lost our sanctuary, we haven't lost our call. We haven't lost our witness. We haven't lost who God has called Royce City Methodist Church to be then, now, and in the future. And as much as I would love to say that that's the end of conflict, that's the end of bad things that happen, it's not. Things still happen. Things still move forward. But I love the songs they'll hold and pick today, because there is a victory. And there will be a victory. And God will continue to move in the life of Royce City Methodist Church, because God is faithful, even when we're not. God holds us and lets us know that we are His children. And if there's anything that marks the 10 years of ministry from the past, but more importantly, what happens going forward, I pray that that is it. That God's faithfulness sees us through as long as we serve together at our big, renewed, and rooted in Christ. So, would you please join me in the prayer of consecration, which you can find printed on the screen. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. Praying in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear God, we know that your love is greater than anything else on this earth, and that your love has seen this church through 140 years, has seen ministry over those 140 years, and your faithfulness has been marked by what you have done just over these past 10 years. Help us to look forward as a people of faith, knowing that you have us, and allow us to fully serve you. So God, we lift this prayer to you. We ask that you let the words of my mouth and the meditation of each heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. So as I promised, we will get to a little bit about what the come thou fount of every blessing is, because I know that I put a little question. It's so funny, Wednesday, whenever I saw Benny as she was folding the bulletin, and I told her that I'm feeling like that I need to go a different direction with the sermon today. And she looked at me and says, well, what's an Ebenezer? I think Benny knows what an Ebenezer is. He was just being Benny to me, but we'll get to that here in a second. If you don't know, I will answer that question that's on your bulletin about what an Ebenezer is. But I wanted to lift up a particular passage that I felt extenuated what is going on today. That I'm humbled, that I'm blessed, that I am thankful for what God has given us as Roy City Methodist Church, and what God has given me as your pastor. And it really just comes down to our scripture from the day, from James 1, 17, where James writes this, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, let me clarify here. I'm not saying that I am the perfect good gift, because I'm not. I am far from anything like that. But James is writing to a group of Christians, Jewish Christians, who have been dispersed all throughout the Roman Empire and beyond. And he's reminding them that even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of darkness, even in the midst of trying times, God has good gifts for them. That every single gift that we receive is from God. That we have the opportunity to live within those good gifts, and that God promises and continues to pour out those good gifts, even when we don't deserve them. Because it is a reminder that it is God who blesses us, that it is God who corrects us, it is God who leads us forward to be faithful witnesses of his love and grace. So there's some things that we need to remember. The very first thing is that the church must have a very good memory. Virginia Anderson may be watching this morning. I love it whenever I have a chance to talk with her, because if somebody has a good memory of Royce City Methodist Church, besides Richard Davis, is Virginia Anderson. And I can always count on her to tell me a little tidbits about Royce City Methodist Church, about the good things that have happened and the bad things that have happened. And when I talk with Virginia, I see her face just light up, because she knows of the blessings of this church and how God has seen her through all of her life and everything that she has seen through this church, and it is a blessing to hear those things. Okay, so here comes the "here I raise an Ebenezer" part of the sermon. That comes from a very significant point in the life of the Israelites. We find that written, as you find in your scripture, 1 Samuel 7. Samuel is walking with the Israelites, and they are trying to evade what is happening with the Philistines as they are planning on coming down and attacking the Israelites. And they are so worried because of the strength of the Philistines, and they don't want to be eliminated by them. And Samuel, he lifts up a prayer to God and gives the Israelites strength to overtake the Philistines. And at that point, I believe in verse 7, it says that Samuel put up an Ebenezer to remind them of what God was doing. So Samuel put this rock in the middle of the street, the middle of this pathway that they were in, just to let them know that as they move from one city to the next, they know that God's faithfulness was there, and it's a look that God's faithfulness will continue to move with the people of Israel as they move forward, relying on God for their strength, for their care, and for their purpose. The technical name of that is that it is the stone of help. Knowing that this stone was a sign that God's help was there for the Israelites. My hope and prayer is as we move forward, and if the land that we're talking about, that Pam talked about in her little spiel this morning before worship, if that is where we're supposed to be, I hope the very first thing that we do is that we raise an Ebenezer on that property. So we know that God's help is with us. But also the smart aleck in me would like to have people drive by that rock and go, I wonder what that's there for. And maybe as that question is being asked to one of you, you could say, that is God's help. You see, we go back telling the story, telling the history, and telling more about God's faithfulness than about the trials or the troubles that we have come through. Because it is God's faithfulness that reminds us that we like to focus on the gifts, but sometimes it's easy to forget the giver of those gifts. You know, I look around and I see how we are filled with great things. And I'm sure as the people that James was talking to dealt with suffering, dealt with pain, dealt with being dispersed, and dealt with that, James brings them back and reminds them of the good gifts that God has given them. And he says a particular phrase to remind them of who God is. He says, the God of the heavenly lights. And when James is doing that, he's saying, remember the story of creation. What was it that God first created? On that very first day, what did he say? Help me out, y'all. Let there be
light.
One more time. Let there be
light.
Let there be light. Light that draws out all darkness. Light that brings life. Light that brings hope. Light that brings a way to take those dark areas that are in our lives and remove them so that we could walk boldly, so that we could walk knowing that God has lit our path every step of the way. I can see how that could be a very blessing for the people of Israel who have been spread out all over the place, because I know it is a blessing to me. It was a blessing to Moses as well. In Moses chapter 33, God has had enough of the Israelites. And God says, you know what? I'm kind of tired of dealing with them. They're a stiff-necked people. They don't listen. They don't do what I want them to do. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and just send you all on your way, and I'm just going to stay back and do my own thing. Moses came and he pleaded with God. And in Exodus 33, verse 15, Moses said this to God. He said, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. What Moses is saying is that, you know, God, you have brought us to this mountain, Mount Sinai. You have brought us to this point that I know you can send us onto the promised land and we won't have you with us. And while we will get to where we are being called to go, if you're not with us, then we don't want to go. If you're not with us, we want to stay right here with you so that our lives are filled with your presence. You know, I've thought about that for the past couple of years. Why haven't we moved forward? Why haven't we gotten the things that we needed? I'm thinking, you know, God's not ready for us to move yet. God's not ready for us to take that next step. But I'm sure God's going, you know what, if you want to go, you go on ahead and go. We'll let you do what you want to do. But my mindset is like Moses. If God's presence is not with us as we move forward, then I want to stay here with God. A couple of things that I pointed out to the leadership board and to the staff. I've been reading a lot, and I think I've told you this a lot through the first five books of the Bible. And one morning, as I was doing my morning devotional, as I was reading in the book of Numbers, chapter 10, verse 8. And I shared this with the leadership board last week when we were talking about the letter of intent. And it was a reminder that in that particular verse, it gives a statement that on the 20th day of the second month, of the second year, God told the Israelites to move away from Mount Sinai and start making their way to the promised land. And I did some math. And as I did the math, we shared it with each other. And this was about maybe 3 or 4 months ago, Wanda and Lindsay, that we were talking about this, 3 or 4 months ago. So it was still kind of just out there wherever. And a certain date came up when we looked from the date of the fire until 2 years, 20 days of the second month. So 2 years, 1 month, and 20 days. That day is July 18th of this year. It's the 20th day of the second month of the second year from the fire. Now, I told them, but I'm telling you this now because I want to be truly faithful in what I'm saying here. I don't think God is saying, you know, on that day, everything's going to happen. We'll have, I know we're not going to have a building. We're not going to have a contract. We're not going to have all that things. But it's a reminder that God will have us move when it is time to move. And I want to look forward with expectation, knowing that God is going to do far greater things in the future than he has done in the past. It's easy to be nostalgic. When I think about nostalgia, I think about the movie Napoleon Dynamite and Uncle Rico. If you're familiar with that movie, Uncle Rico is sitting there, he's throwing footballs out in the field, and he talks about, man, if I would just put in, we would have won state. If I were the quarterback, we would have been great. He lived fully in nostalgia, not even thinking about what was going on around here. And it is a danger to be a church that is fully drawn to nostalgia, but it is important to remember that the best part of God's story is the next story. It's not the story that we just told, but it is the very next story that God is going to tell in the life of Royce City Methodist Church that will be the best story. The best story after that is the next story. And on, because we know that God continues to do great and amazing things through God's people. In Isaiah 43:19, this is one of our passages that somebody left for our words for 2026. Isaiah reminds us, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And then Paul in Philippians 3, verses 13 to 14, reminds us that we forget what is behind and we strain towards what is ahead. We press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. So today, as we've completed 10 years of ministry here for me, and as we look on towards the next years of ministry, my challenge for us is that we dream forward. That we say, God, what is it that you are calling us to do next? For our kids, for our youth, for our senior adults, for our regular size adults, for those who have not had the opportunity to be introduced to Jesus Christ yet, for those who may have had a false concept of who God is and who Jesus is. How could we shape ministry so that we could be like the promise that God told Abraham in Genesis 12:12, that he will bless us so that we may be a blessing for others? What is the story that future generations of Royce City Methodist Church is going to tell? Will we recycle the stories of the past, allowing them to be our full identity, or will we be a church that says we are thankful for where God has placed us today, but we know that the story that God has for us is greater in the future. And we move forward, knowing that every good gift comes from above. And God strengthens us to be in ministry together. Let us pray. Dear God, I am thankful for how you have brought us here. I am thankful for each and every person who has been a part or who still is a part of Royce City Methodist Church. They have strengthened us. They have helped us grow. Give us a unified witness of faith, of hope and love, so that what we share with our community is that you call us to serve together, to be renewed and rooted in Christ, so that the world may hear the message of hope and love through us about you. And so, God, we lift this prayer up to you. In the name of Jesus, in the presence of Jesus, in the great power of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.